Hey, everybody, before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know we've got another live show coming up. We will be back at Maya Cinemas on Thursday, May 23rd for Furiosa, the latest in the Mad Max series. We are so excited for this one. Joining me to talk about it, we've got Sam Novak, Shahab Zargari, and Tony Gonzalez, a great lineup. It's going to be an awesome movie. We are so excited to talk about it. So make sure to check the show notes. There are opportunities to win tickets. You can also buy tickets, and we hope to see you there Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas for Furiosa. Welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. But today on the show, it is actually the return of our Breaking It Apart series, which takes the format of Piecing It Together and turns it in reverse. And we're looking at a classic movie and what movies it might have inspired. And joining me today is film critic Noah Gattel to talk about The Bad News Bears from 1976, and Noah has a new book out called Baseball the Movie, so it was a perfect time to get Noah back on the podcast and take a look at a classic baseball movie, and we also talk about his new book. So, great conversation coming up, lots of great stuff to get into. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is that you're listening. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And I'd love to hear what other movies that we don't bring up that you think might have been inspired by The Bad News Bears. So definitely write in either on Twitter, on Facebook, in the Facebook group. You can do it right there on Good Pods if that's where you're listening. And there's also a contact form on our website, piecingpod.com. I'd love to hear from you. And with that said, let's jump into this episode about The Bad News Bears. All right, Noah Gattel is with us. We are going to talk about The Bad News Bears and also about his new book, Baseball the Movie. Noah, how's it going?
It's going great, David. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming back. You know, I've known that you've had this book on the way for a while, and, you know, we haven't been doing these Breaking It Apart episodes looking at classics in a while, and I just know there's, like, this rich history of baseball movie, which is, of course, why you wrote this book, but I thought it would be a good chance to jump into a movie like this, and you threw this one out there as an option, and I'm really glad you did, because I hadn't seen it in so many years, and it's just so much fun.
I love this movie. I actually didn't see it for the first time until, like, 10 years ago. I think I was, you know, sort of the wrong... I wasn't born yet when it came out, and then by the time I was old enough to see it, according to my parents, it just seemed like an old movie that I wasn't that interested in. There were so many other baseball movies that were coming out that were made for me that I just kind of never got around to it. And then when I caught up with it, I was blown away, not just because it's a great baseball movie, and it really does contain more baseball than pretty much any other movie. But also because I knew so much more about 70s cinema by then, and I was able to kind of look at how it fit into what else was going on in Hollywood at the time. So in a weird way, I think this movie is actually better as an adult than it would have been as a kid.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And it kind of has it all. It's got the baseball, of course, but it's also got, you know, the coming of age stuff. It's got just, you know, funny, raucous humor in it with everything with Walter Matthau. And it's a fun one. And I think that's also going to speak to the kind of different angles we could get at with talking about Puzzle Pieces here and talking about movies that The Bad News Bears itself might have inspired. So let's just start getting to it. We'll talk about your book a bunch, probably along the way, but a bunch at the end too. What do you have for your first piece?
Well, I have a feeling your pieces are going to be more creative than mine, but I somehow avoided just picking the sequels to The Bad News Bears because there were two of those, and there was a remake, and there was a TV show as well.
Sure.
But The Bad News Bears really set the template for so many baseball movies that came after. This idea of a team of, you know, a ragtag team of underappreciated players who come together under this unorthodox leader. And I could name several baseball movies that do this, but the one I want to single out is a film called Little Big League.
Okay.
It came out in 1994. This is a movie about a 12-year-old kid who whose grandfather owns the Minnesota Twins. His grandfather dies. He leaves the team to this kid, and then the kid makes himself the manager of the team. And I think it's actually a great movie that got really overlooked at the time for various reasons. It takes its baseball really seriously, which is important to sort of balance the ludicrousness of the concept. But the reason it's a good parallel to Bad News Bears is because it's got the same overall structure, you know, a team coming together under an unorthodox leader. In this one, the kid is the manager.
Okay.
And the players are the adults. So it's sort of the opposite and the same. And then you add in the fact that the kid is actually smarter, definitely about baseball, than any of the dumb jock players are. And it sort of is the same as the Bad News Bears in a weird way. So of all the baseball films that have sort of followed this template, I think Little Big League does it the most in the most interesting way.
Okay, right on. I'm wondering if because I feel like there were so many, you know, growing up in the 80s and into the early 90s, like baseball movies were always around. And I feel like I saw them all back then, but I definitely haven't seen this since back then, you know?
Well, what happened to this movie, and I hope I'm not stepping on any of your other pieces, but it came out a year after Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
And it really got overshadowed by that because these were the two like kids in the major leagues movies. And for some reason, Rookie of the Year was a much bigger hit, even though I think it's a lesser movie.
Right on. Right on. That makes a lot of sense. I've got some baseball movies. I got some other stuff. I'm going to start with some of the other stuff here. This, of course, coming out in 76, right before all of the 80s comedies that we all grew up with, everybody our age. I'm going to go with Caddyshack for my first puzzle piece here. As far as men behaving badly in the world of sports go, I'm sure every single person on that set just idolized Walter Matthau. And the combination of the shitty attitude, the bad manners, the beer, bad language, you know, of course, Caddyshack in the world of golf, not baseball. And you don't really have like the kid angle of it all, but basically, you know, bad behavior in sports, they fit so well together in a comedy movie. It's the kind of thing you want to see at a midnight screening, you know, these kinds of movies, they fit so perfectly. And to get really funny people on screen just being themselves, basically, Caddyshack is like a perfect example of that. And I think Bad News Bears kind of sets the template because we all love Walter Matthau.
I agree. I actually thought about this as a puzzle piece, but I didn't use it. I guess the Rodney Dangerfield character is kind of the closest corollary to Walter Matthau in a way, mm-hmm. as the guy who really, you know, shakes things up from the outside. But it's true that before Bad News Bears, there really weren't any irreverent sports comedies.
Right.
I mean, none that I can think of. There were a lot of baseball movies, but most of them were pretty self-serious. Some of them were comedies, but they weren't like this, where they really thumb their nose at all of the patriotism that surrounds baseball and, you know, the people who the wholesomeness of the game.
Sure.
And I think that did set the stage for Caddyshack. Another film that I didn't choose because it came out so soon after Caddyshack that I don't think we can say it inspired it is Slapshot.
Sure.
And, you know, that was 1 year after Caddyshack, after Bad News Bears. Right. And all these three films are all swimming in the same water.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I was almost going to put Slapshot on my list as well. Also, another one that I'm going to take a wild guess and say it's not on your list, but related to Caddyshack, Ladybugs, talking Rodney Dangerfield. It's the same basic setup. So let's throw that on
it
there.
It really is.
Yeah.
That's a great call. I haven't thought about that movie in a minute.
Oh, it's so funny. What do you got next?
So the thing that I was just saying about how the baseball movies followed this template, a lot of other sports movies followed the exact same template too. I could say The Mighty Ducks, which uses a similar structure, but I'm going to go with a movie that came out a couple of years ago, called Champions with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah.
Which steals a lot from The Mighty Ducks. It's actually about, about a former player who's kind of down on his luck and he gets a DUI, just like the character in Mighty Ducks does, and he gets sentenced to coaching this team. In Champions, it's a team of intellectually disabled basketball players.
Yeah.
And, you know, both of these movies are pulling from the Bad News Bears a ton. They got a coach who sort of wants to be there, sort of doesn't want to be there. They got these kids who sort of care and they sort of don't care, but they all grow together and they get to the final game and they probably lose, but they win a moral victory or whatever it is. But I mean, I'm talking about it like it's a cliched thing, but the cliches really work every time. Sure. I actually really liked Champions quite a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought the kids and the adults who played the athletes were incredible. And Woody Harrelson is a really good kind of pissed off, drunk, irresponsible, middle-aged guy, just in the mold of Morris Buttermaker. So I hope they keep making these movies, but I thought Champions was a pretty good example.
Yeah, I never got a chance to see it, but it looked really good. And yeah, definitely fits right in that same vein. And, you know, of course, you know, it's 2024. How many years past 76? I should have done the math ahead of time, but, you know, we're still doing it. So it works.
It's almost 50 years yeah. is the answer.
There you go. You're better at that than me. I'll also go with a recent thing. And this one, it's almost like an anti-puzzle piece in a way here, because I'm going to go with The Way Back, starring Ben Affleck, who is an alcoholic who is using coaching this shitty basketball team to kind of help in his, you know, journey towards getting sober. And the reason why I call it an anti-puzzle piece is because, I mean, at their celebration at the end of Bad News Bears, I mean, Walter Matthau's still drinking. He's still, you know, a bad influence. And he's learned a little bit, maybe, but not a lot. And, you know, of course, with The Way Back, it's much more of an inspirational story and, like, actually getting clean, getting sober. And so it's kind of the opposite. Maybe the 70s are a part of that, you know? Like, it's kind of just a different time. You don't really need that aspect. It's just like, hey, whatever. He's having some beers, whatever. But, you know, it's kind of the opposite, but at the same time, it's a similar setup.
One of the things I like about Bad News Bears, it's a good comparison to a movie like The Way Back, is that, you know, I think Walter Matthau does have a little bit of a journey in this movie, as you say, but it's so subtly drawn.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's that one line he has early in the movie when the kids are about to give up on the team. And he says, you know, this quitting habit is hard to break once you start it. And that says so much about how he got to where he is in his life. But it's just one line.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he has the journey at the end, you know, and he ends up getting too into winning and he has to come down from that. But it's all done very subtly. They never sacrifice the comedy in favor of that. And, you know, The Way Back is a good movie, but it's pretty heavy-handed
in
terms of, like, what this guy's journey is and what he needs to learn. So I really appreciate how The Bad News Bears have sort of wove that emotional journey in through the comedy and the sports and all that stuff.
Absolutely. You were just on this podcast for The Holdovers at the end of last year, and that being so heavily inspired by, you know, stuff from the 70s, you see that same kind of thing where, like, just throwaway lines are just filled with so much character development. And it's another one that's, like, right in that same kind of thing.
That's a great call.
So what do you got for your next one?
Okay, so my next one is not a sports movie, but it sort of feels like one. Mm-hmm. And that is School of Rock.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
School of Rock, which, you know, the reason I thought of this was that I interviewed Richard Linklater for my book. I interviewed a lot of people for the book, but there's a standalone interview with him sort of in the middle of the book, which was so exciting for me.
I bet.
And we were talking about his remake of The Bad News Bears, which is okay. If we'd never seen the first one, maybe we'd think it was better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we were talking about that, and he said, you know, the reason he got that or was able to make that movie was because he had just made School of Rock and it was such a big hit. And he said when they were making School of Rock, they actually referenced the original Bad News Bears quite a lot.
Oh, wow.
And if you think of it, it's pretty similar. You've got this irresponsible leader of, you know, this classroom of young, somewhat obnoxious kids. And they end up growing together. There's sort of a big game at the end that they don't win, but they kind of win their own self-esteem. And, you know, I bet if you looked at it beat for beat, it would actually have even more in common with Bad News Bears than we know.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't think of that one, but that's a great one. And another thing is, you know, of course, you know, you got Jack Black is the star of the show. Of course, Walter Matthau is the star of the show, but all the kids get their moments. Like, they're all very fully drawn, and you really get to know them all, even though there's so many other characters. So yeah, I mean, that's a really great one there. I like that a lot. I will go with, let's throw another baseball movie, a classic, 1993, The Sandlot. You gotta have it on this list as far as misfit kids go. You know, you don't necessarily have the, you know, the coach type of character in this. It's more just the kids are out there dealing with everything on their own, and it's, you know, straight up the coming of age part of the story. But, you know, I talked about at the beginning of this conversation about how we grew up around all these baseball movies. The Sandlot was like center of all of that, I feel like.
Yeah, that's an iconic movie. It's the kind of movie that you see when you're a kid, and then you can't wait to show to your kids when they're old enough to see it. And, you know, to me, it's not in the same league as Bad News Bears because, like, it doesn't have that hard edge, you know, that I really like. It's a pretty soft, gentle movie.
Sure.
But there's nothing wrong with a soft, gentle movie. And when you're talking about, you know, a group of kids in a baseball movie, those are clearly number one and number two.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to your next piece. What do you got?
All right. You know, this movie, like, I'm not as big a fan of as everyone else is, but I feel it must be mentioned, and that is Bad Santa.
Okay, yeah.
Of course, Bad Teacher and Bad Moms would probably fall into the same category. But, I mean, look, even you could say Bad News Bears was the first in the series in a way,
sure,
if you wanted to,
yeah,
since it starts with bad.
Yeah.
That's the idea, right, is that it's just funny to see a guy behaving irresponsibly or a gal behaving irresponsibly around kids and not varnishing the truth from them and using them for their own gain. Bad News Bears certainly pioneered that, and Bad Santa did it so well, or so successfully, financially at least,
sure,
that Richard Linklater cast Billy Bob Thornton as Buttermaker in his remake of the Bad News Bears.
Oh, yeah.
So it really sort of comes full circle there. The Bad Santa is like the meat in the Bad News Bears sandwich.
How about that? I didn't realize the timeline there. Yeah, that works out perfectly. That's another one I didn't think of, but that is such a great one to include here. As far as, you know, the person who's supposed to be, you know, inspirational and fun and happy, and, you know, it just goes the other direction. So, yeah.
That's right. I mean, Santa Claus and base Little League coaches, they're at the same level, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I will go, this is actually a good setup for my next one. I wanted to include an Adam Sandler movie on my list because I feel like his whole shtick is, you know, what Walter Matthau's doing here. And I feel like Big Daddy is probably the best one, even though he does have many sports-related movies. It's more that guy who's kind of a screw-up who is learning to grow a little bit because of having to take care of some kids, in this case, one kid. And, I think the fact we've already kind of talked about it, that he only grows a little bit, which is another thing that's like fun about Big Daddy and Adam Sandler's character in that movie. You know, he's still Adam Sandler by the end of the movie, but he's a little bit better and he's on his way. And you kind of hope that he's going to become a better and better person as, you know, things go forward after the movie ends.
That's a great call. And I think it says something about the difference in the two eras, you know, when Adam Sandler is still going to be a man-child by the end of it, because that's what Adam Sandler is. Mm-hmm. That's his whole persona. And that's what the persona was of so many comic stars in that era. But, you know, back in the 70s, men were a little bit different,
yeah,
I think. And Buttermaker, for all of his irresponsibility, was a gruff, more gruff, kind of more masculine,
sure,
man. And so those are interesting comps in terms of like what the standard for masculinity was in the two.
That's a really good point. I was thinking like, you know, 10, 20 years from now, like when we come around to yet another remake, like Sandler will probably be aged into the perfect, you know, moment for that. But you're right though. It is a slightly different kind of guy, you know? So,
yeah. Well, let me take this opportunity then before I give my final piece to just mention the puzzle piece that has yet to come to pass, which is Kevin Smith has wanted to make a sequel
to
The Bad News Bears for a long time. And in his version, it's Amanda, played by Tatum O'Neill, and Kelly Leak, played by Jackie Earle Haley, as adults coaching opposing teams of misfits. And I'm probably falling in love or something like that again at the end of it. But so I don't think Adam Sandler could play Kelly Leak. Jackie Earle Haley is alive and well and still available.
Yeah.
You know, maybe one day Sandler will get a chance to do something like that. I think it would be really fun.
I think I'd rather see the Sandler version, but yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
What is that final puzzle piece you got?
All right. So this isn't quite a baseball movie, but it has a little baseball in it. And I'm going back to the Linklater well. I've just realized I've done this like three times.
Nice.
But I'm going with Dazed and Confused.
Sure.
And here's my thought process. Yes, it has some baseball in it. There's you know, Mitch is a baseball pitcher in the eighth grade there, and there is a scene early on of him striking out a hitter to end the game, and then a really beautiful shot of him walking alone through the center field fence because he's about to get his ass paddled. And I think there's an American flag in the background, and it's just this real great portrait of teenage loneliness and being screwed. But the reason I picked it is because when you watch this movie and Bad News Bears back to back, they really look like they're set in the same world. Mm. From the stock of the film to the clothes they're wearing to the hairstyles. And Dazed is set in the same year Bad News Bears came out. And it really felt to me like Linklater showed everybody on his production team the Bad News Bears and said, we want to make our movie look exactly like this. Hmm. And I think he really, really pulled it off.
That's interesting. Yeah. And I can totally see it the way that you're describing it. Like it's like perfect. It's like a perfect recreation of that exact film, basically, like as if this is happening in the next town over. And that's interesting. I like that a lot. I like that as a puzzle piece. And I think it works in a variety of ways. And of course, you know, you can't have too much Linklater in anything baseball related. So
exactly. And I did ask him about that, mm-hmm. to be clear. He kind of shrugged it off. He was like, yeah, they're both kind of this neighborhoody vibe. So I could be totally wrong, but to quote another movie I love, he's just the author. What is he?
There you go. Absolutely. Well, I will go for one more piece. I've got a few other things written down. I was thinking of basketball, as far as I was thinking of the Benchwarmers, which is a personal favorite of mine, even though it's so stupid. But I will go instead with Role Models, the David Wayne comedy, in which Paul Rudd and Sean William Scott are two idiots who get in trouble and they're forced to do community service and they have to be big brothers to a bunch of kids. They end up getting involved in LARPing, live action role playing, and that's kind of the stand-in for baseball in this situation. It's a totally different sport, but basically having to grow up in the sense of in the form of trying to teach these kids and trying to get them to get a better, straighter path and learn something about growing up and being actual human beings instead of just like running around the playground doing nothing. Role Models is so fun, and so I figured I'd include that one on my list.
It's a great call. I love Role Models. And here's the thing that might blow your mind. Before Bad News Bears and Rocky, which came out the same year, sports movies didn't really end with a big game. Mm. Those movies sort of invented that.
Yeah.
So all of these things that you're mentioning, including Role Models, which certainly ends with its own version of a big game, they all owe something to the Bad News Bears. It's really kind of amazing how influential the movie is.
Absolutely. I was also thinking of Wet Hot American Summer, where the other team shows up and then they decide just not to play.
I love that.
Such a good scene. But yeah, it's funny you brought up Rocky. I did want to mention that really quickly. I was trying to think of other movies where, you know, the big triumphant thing is just that they hung in there for the actual game and they didn't actually win or anything. And I started thinking of pieces and really all I could think of was Rocky, but I'm sure there's one that we could have like pulled up, you know?
Yeah. Little Big League is like that. They do not win at the end of that. You could argue A League of Their Own is like that, right? Because the Peaches lose at the end.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Dugan is a pretty good Morris Buttermaker corollary, actually. I think those movies have a lot in common.
Right on.
And again, School of Rock, same thing, right? They do not win the Battle of the Bands, even though they were clearly the best band there.
That is absolutely right. Yeah, that's another good one that fits in there. Of course, we could have done this for like an hour. There's so many movies that were inspired by the Bad News Bears, but I'll read down the list of what we did just bring up here, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts. But we talked about Little Big League, Caddyshack, Slapshot, Ladybugs, Champions, The Way Back, School of Rock, The Sandlot, Bad Santa, Big Daddy, Dazed and Confused, Role Models, and then we threw A League of Their Own in there as well. Yeah, any closing thoughts, anything that we didn't quite get into while talking about the Bad News Bears?
It's the only sports movie I know that was protested by the Catholic League, first of all. I'll say that. It was the favorite film of all time, one of the favorites of not just Kevin Smith, but also Quentin Tarantino and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, wow.
Who, if you want to know what drew him to Moneyball, maybe it was his chance to do something in the same vein as Little Big League. or maybe it was Along Came Polly. I'm not sure.
Put Philip Seymour Hoffman as the coach. Oh man.
Oh my God. What a missed opportunity. One other fun fact that I discovered, the movie was written by Bill Lancaster, who based the character of Morris Buttermaker on his father. Mm. Can you guess who his father was?
Burt Lancaster,
wow. Exactly. Which is really funny to think about. But Burt Lancaster would have been a pretty cool Buttermaker too at various points in his career.
Yeah, I was actually, I looked up Bill Lancaster before this and I was surprised at his like filmography. Two Bad News Bears movies, Firestarter, an unused draft of that, and John Carpenter's The Thing. Like,
I know, not too bad.
Random and great career, but yeah,
I'll take that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk about your book a little bit. I mean, straight up, just, you know, introduce it to my listeners. Tell people what it is.
So it's called Baseball the Movie, and basically it tracks the evolution of the baseball movie genre from Pride of the Yankees, which was really the first big successful baseball movie, all the way to the present. And I think if you were to read this book, you'd get a pretty good sense of what baseball went through, like in that time period, what Hollywood went through in that time period, and really what America went through in that time period, too. One of the big ideas of the book is that because baseball is the national pastime, it represents this sort of perfect vehicle in film to comment on race and gender and politics and corruption and all the things that make America, America. So there's sort of a lot of strands going on at once, but I think it makes a compelling narrative. And I also think, you know, I have such a great love for the baseball movie, like a really kind of childlike enthusiasm for it. So I think that comes through as well. And people who just want to revel in these movies will get a kick out of it.
Right on, right on. Yeah, I think some of what you were just saying kind of answers my first question I wanted to ask you, but I'll ask it anyway. Like, what's in it, would you say, for someone who maybe is big on movies, but not necessarily baseball, or is big on baseball, but not necessarily movies?
Well, the baseball and not movies part, you know, I think if you are a baseball fan, you probably do love some of these movies.
Sure.
I mean, I know there's a lot of people who don't really watch movies anymore, but if they grew up loving baseball, they definitely watched The Sandlot or Rookie of the Year or Field of Dreams at some point in their childhood. If you're a fan of movies but not baseball, I still think there's a lot of stuff that is interesting in here. When we talk about the films of the 70s in film critic or film Twitter circles or whatever, you know, The Bad News Bears isn't one of the movies that comes up all the time, maybe because it's a comedy or maybe because it's a sports movie. But it, you know, it's a piece of all of the films that we do love. It is, it came from the same system. It came from the same parts. And you could say the same about Bang the Drum Slowly, which is a really fascinating 1970s movie, specifically when you consider it as a baseball movie when compared to other baseball movies that were made early. So, you know, these are movies that aren't necessarily taken seriously in film scholar circles. And one of the reasons I wrote this book is because I want to take them seriously. Yeah. That's what I did in this book. I considered them as real works of art. And I think that my hope is that people who read the book will see them in that light, perhaps for the first time.
Absolutely. I was wondering, is there a movie you were watching when you were like, I'm going to write a book about baseball? Like, was it like a light bulb moment during a certain movie?
It wasn't one moment, but if I had to say like the one movie I was most excited to shine a light on, it probably was Little Big League.
Okay.
Because as I mentioned earlier, this is a movie that was really lost in the shuffle for a couple of reasons. One was that it was coupled with Rookie of the Year. And you know how it is when there's like two movies sort of about the same thing. One of them is considered like the B, you know, the JV version.
Sure.
And it definitely happened with Little Big League. But also because it came out right before the baseball strike happened in 1994. That was a really dark time for baseball. It was a sad time. That was the only year without a World Series in a really long time. And I think people weren't really in the mood for like a fun kids baseball movie. But it's so great because people don't realize how seriously this movie takes its baseball. They realize if you're going to have an outlandish concept, you got to take it seriously at the same time. And they cast so many former players, gave them big roles, actually. And they made this main character, Billy, this 12-year-old kid, literally the smartest guy in the room. talking about concepts that real like MLB teams wouldn't actually adopt for like 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. I talk about this in the book. So it's actually more interesting now than it was then, because we can see how clearly ahead of its time it was.
That's cool. That's really cool. You already mentioned that you got to talk to Linklater for this. Were there other people that you were trying to talk to for this? Who else did you get to talk to?
Yeah, well, the best part for me was getting to talk to some former and current players.
Okay.
I talked to the only current Major League Baseball player I talked to is a guy named Mark Canna, who's really cool. And I have a tiny relationship with some people at the Mets, and he was on the Mets at the time, and I was able to talk to him. Really smart, progressive guy. I talked to some great baseball writers. I talked to Joe Posnanski, he's like the preeminent baseball author of our time. Mm-hmm. His most recent book, The Baseball 100, has been on the bestseller list forever. I got to talk to Michael Schur, who is he's a friend of Joe Posnanski's. They have a podcast together, but he's also the creator of The Good Place and Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
And he was one of the writers on The Office, huge Red Sox fan. And he was trying to make a Field of Dreams TV show for a while. In fact, he had it all written and it was about to get made. And I think Amazon dropped it because A League of Their Own, the TV series, didn't do very well.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone else dropped it because they saw how that happened. But he wasn't able to make it. But I talked to him about Field of Dreams, and he was just such an entertaining, smart guy. I talked to some great other baseball writers, Susan Slusser, an incredible beat reporter for the San Francisco Giants. I got to talk to Alyssa Wilkinson, who for the New York Times, who is not a baseball fan at all, but there's a whole subgenre of films called faith-based baseball films.
Oh,
and she's
sure.
A bit of an expert in the evangelical Christian cinema, if you want to call it that, movement. So she provided some great background there. It was just an awesome time talking to people who normally would never give me that amount of time. So the book gave me a right to get in the room with some of these folks, and it was amazing.
Was there anything during the research for all this that like you just were completely not expecting, something that kind of blew you away?
There were a lot of things, but the one anecdote that I like to bring up is that in Major League, you know, the magic of movies is you can make non-athletes look like athletes. It's pretty easy to do,
sure,
especially in baseball. But Charlie Sheen took his role so seriously that he took steroids for the role to try to get his fastball up into the 80s, 80 miles an hour. He threw a 78 mile an hour fastball, which is pretty good for a guy who's not a professional athlete, but he needed it to be faster. So he took steroids and it worked. He got it up to 85. And it's funny, but it's also, you know, obviously indicative of some problems he would have later in life, but also of what was going on at the time, which is that a lot of Hollywood stars were using steroids late 80s. Stallone talked about it a bit, and some other of those muscle-bound stars. So Sheen fits right in there, but he did it for authenticity's sake, not just to look buff.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, it's not just... It's not just a bad decision. It's like an authenticity thing. Like, you know, I'm picturing being a fly on the wall when some guy was telling him, hey, you know how you can get your fastball up? You know, this is what you need.
So, just bend over and take this shot in the ass.
Absolutely. Oh, man. Well, I don't want to end it on the shot in the ass comment. So is there another story from the book that we could tell before we wrap this up?
Well, sure. You know, I mentioned Mark Canna earlier, and He's an outfielder, and he came up on the Oakland A's when he was 25 years old. And the first time he got surrounded by media members was in spring training, right towards the end of spring training. And they came up to him and they said, what do you think you proved with your performance this spring? You know, one of those silly, tough questions. And he said something like, well, I'm pretty tired, so I proved that I can perform even when I'm exhausted. And they went right to the manager and said, why are you overworking Mark Canna? And he got his ass chewed out by the manager. So he got to the major leagues. And the next time the media came up to him, his very first day when he got a big hit, they said, how does it feel to get your first big hit? And he looked at the camera and he said, I'm just here to help the ball club. And good Lord willing, things will work out. Which is the exact same advice Crash Davis gave to Nuke LaLoosh in Bull Durham when he was teaching him how to speak to the media. So Mark Canna, he said he watched Bull Durham on endless bus trips in the minor leagues like 100 times. And he realized in that moment that there was actually some real wisdom in that movie that he could glean. And he pulled the dialogue straight from the movie and said it to the cameras with just a little bit of a glint in his eye.
Amazing, amazing stuff. I do actually want to ask you one more thing, because that story made me think of it. I tweeted at you today, jokingly, after the news of Austin Butler is going to star as a burnt out baseball player in the next Darren Aronofsky movie. We just had Night Swim earlier this year. Wyatt Russell's a burnt out baseball. What is it with burnt out baseball players?
I think it's a tough game, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that one takes place in the 90s too, so I don't know that players were as burnt out then as they are now. But I like to see that baseball is creeping back into cinema. You know, we haven't had a proper baseball movie since I think Everybody Wants Some is the last one.
Sounds about right.
That was like eight years ago now, but it is starting to creep back. The documentaries are getting really popular. And now we have Night Swim, where it's actually a bigger part of Night Swim than you would think, based on like the trailer. And now who knows how big a part of Aronofsky's movie it's going to be. But I sense that it's starting to creep back into the mainstream cinema. And that's really, really exciting to me.
Absolutely. Well, Noah, where can people find the book and where can people find you?
I am mostly on Twitter, occasionally on TikTok. I don't know if your people watch TikTok, but I do some baseball movie content on there. Just search for my name. And the book is available for pre-order at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Bookshop and pretty much all the places that you buy books in this day and age.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Noah, thanks so much for doing the show, and hopefully we'll get you back again sometime.
I would love it. Always a pleasure.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about the Bad News Bears. Thanks to Noah Gattel for joining me on that one. Make sure to check out his book, Baseball the Movie. There will be a link down in the show notes. And thank you to all of you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, of course, make sure you are subscribed wherever it is you're listening. And maybe take a minute out and drop us a little 5-star rating and review. It helps make sure that more people check out the show. And then we could keep doing fun stuff like all these episodes we've been doing. There have been a lot lately, and you can always find the episodes in advance over on our Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and from my music career. I've also been posting exclusive video versions of some episodes of the podcast, including this one. You can only get those on the Patreon. And, you know, if you want to keep listening on the Apple Podcasts, the Spotify, the Good Pods, wherever it is that you're listening, I absolutely appreciate that you're out there listening. But if you want to support the show and get access to all that bonus content, check it out. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. And that is very much appreciated, too. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. You know, I should say also, more Breaking It Apart and Missing Pieces episodes on the way. I've gotten a lot of requests for the return of these series, looking at, you know, older movies. Breaking It Apart looks at movies that are, you know, much older, whereas Missing Pieces is kind of like 2000 through 2017, basically like in those 15, 20 years before I started this podcast, but still relatively new movies. So I will be building up a bunch more episodes for both of those series, and then we'll just find good places to release them. If there's anything you want to maybe join me for, get in touch. Maybe we'll plan one. But I'm definitely going to be recording a lot more of those. So with that said, let's close this out with a piece of music like I always do. And I'm currently in the middle of this 24 for 2024 series where I'm releasing a single on the first and third Friday of every month of 2024. And I'm going to play one of those tracks today. I'm not sure if this one will have been out yet by the time that this episode goes up. So it might be a preview of one that's coming up soon, or it might already be out. It might even be out this week. I don't know. It's somewhere around now. But anyway, it's called Falling in Line. It's more of an upbeat track. I hope you enjoy it. And you can find the full 24 for 2024 playlist over on Spotify, along with all the rest of my music. And we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon. Thank you.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.